Morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Berea Ministries, the Christian Church. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us believers in Christ to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. As a result, all believers in Christ obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven, and protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at a future time. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor teacher, a spiritual gift given to me by God for your blessing and for your benefit. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching." This spiritual gift affords me the privilege of telling unbelievers the good news, the gospel message concerning God the Father's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his saving work on the cross. John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31 say this, "Therefore many other signs the Lord Jesus Christ also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book, the Bible. But these signs that have been written of here are written so that you may believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you may have the Zoe life in his name." Who goes to heaven? It's not the good people who go to heaven. It's the people who do things God's way as he requests that go to heaven. And what is God's way? Romans chapter 10, verses 8 to 11 tell us his way. But what does the Old Testament scripture say? "The word, the gospel message, is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith, the gospel message, which we are preaching. And what is that word? It's the word that faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ alone is the ticket to eternal life. And that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and that's a third-class condition, if in the Greek, maybe you will, maybe you won't, you have a choice. And you believe in your heart that God the Father raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in the imputation of absolute righteousness, the admission ticket to heaven. And with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Old Testament scripture says, whoever believes in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, will not be disappointed. The spiritual gift of pastor-teacher affords me also the privilege of providing believers in the Lord Jesus Christ with a place to hear the Word of God accurately taught so that they might use its truth to handle the circumstances of their lives, whether it's adversity or prosperity or impending physical death. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "Grow in the sphere of grace and grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity." So the Lord Jesus Christ is the one we gather here to worship, and he is the one and only sovereign God. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 say, "Or even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us believers in Christ, there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through our union with him." So this and every Bible lesson gives you a chance to renew your faith, a chance to come to the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a time to let God the Holy Spirit lead you into all the truths. For he was promised by the Lord Jesus Christ to do exactly that, to lead us into all the truths for the purpose of pouring out his enabling power into you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says that you be renewed by God in the spirit of your mind. Thank you for coming to listen to the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God, through the power of God the Holy Spirit. And thanks for tuning your soul to WGOD, to God's broadcast, and thanks for tuning your soul out from KCOS, the cosmic system of thought. Now, as God prepares your soul for renewing, Let's worship our Lord in song, and the opening song is Shout to the Lord.
Okay, guys, we're going to do something different at the beginning of each lesson. Well, of the first lesson of each Sunday, we're going to do a praise and worship song, and there are going to be words up on the screen so that I won't be the only one singing. And then... And then that way you can share in the worship while we start before Pastor actually gives the lessons. Cool? Okay, the first song we're going to start with is Shout to the Lord, and the words will be up there. So you can, there's a musical introduction for the song, but the words will be up there, and you can sing it with me, and we're going to do that with four songs. We're going to keep repeating so that if you don't know it, you can actually listen to it, like we're going to rotate it every 4 weeks. No, I want you guys to learn the song so can you can partake in the worship, because I'm not the only here one that wants to worship. And I think it's good that you guys take part in it, right?
Yep.
All right, let's go.
That took a long time.
Oh,
June forgot the words were on the screen. You know, she's gonna give you the words. She's gonna talk you through it too. That's awesome. They're right up there on that thingamabob. Yeah. No, there's no mercy here. A lot of grace, but no mercy. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Thank you for giving us the privilege of prayer. Thanks for trusting us with the power of prayer. Thanks for inclining your ear to us, Father, and thank you for answering our prayers. Thank you for making the requirement for accessing prayer's power so minimal, if only we believe. Thank you for your amazing grace, which is always invested on our behalf. Help us to develop an amazing prayer life, one that focuses us on our submission relationship to you. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Today's study, Romans chapter 1. Prayer helps in tough situations. Prayer helps in tough situations. So Henry David Thoreau once said this. He said, "I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to live deep, and to suck all the marrow out of life, and to put to rout all that was not life, so that when I had come to die, I might not discover that I had not lived." We come to learn the Word of God for the very same reason, to put to rout, to send scurrying for the hills everything that is not the Zoe life, the resurrection life that the Lord intended for us. See, there's one thing you have to understand, and this is a lesson that we should learn the moment we come out of the womb. No matter what your orientation is to God, there's one thing you have to understand about God. Whether you believe this or not is irrelevant, because it's the truth. And you always have to ask yourself, is what I believe the truth? Because they're different sometimes. But this is the truth. 1 billion years ago, the Lord Jesus Christ had you in mind personally by name. And 1 billion years from now, he will have you personally in mind by name. And when he hung from a cross to pay for the sins of all mankind, he had you personally in mind by name. And there is never a time between those two poles when he didn't have you personally in mind by name. He loves you unconditionally. UN, unconditionally. What does that mean? With no conditions. So there is nothing that you have to do to please him. There is nothing that you can do to make the Lord love you more than he does already. There is nothing you can do to make him love you less than he does already. And you cannot do anything to change the way he feels about you, which is he loves you unconditionally. Now, you may not believe that because you may have been told by religions that that's not the way it is. But the Bible says differently. And you get to choose what you think about what the Bible has to say. Now, you tell me what value there is in you thinking that God is sitting in heaven with his arms crossed in the matter of you, waiting for you to make a mistake so that he can count it up in his computer so that when you die and go before him, he can spit your sins back in your face. Does that even on a base level make any sense to you whatsoever? Just on a base level. But then you have this thing that you hear about called the cross, that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you on a cross. God the Father loved the world so much that he sent the uniquely born one, that whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. God the Father demonstrated his unconditional love for you, and that while we were sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ died as a substitute for us. So does it make any sense to you on any level that you're going to be able to do something in your life that disappoints God? It makes no sense. But we love believing that crap. We love believing it. Why do we believe it? Well, see, my mom said, well, like when I was a kid. No, we don't go there. We don't. We go to God. We go to Rio de Janeiro. We crawl up the back of a statue, the Jesus statue, and we look at ourselves through his eyes, and we ask ourselves, what does he see when he looks at me? If you're an unbeliever, what he sees when he looks at you is, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to a change of mind about Christ. If you're a believer in Christ, when he looks at you, he sees the absolute righteousness that he imputed to you at the moment of salvation, that is your admission ticket to heaven. He sees a being that is in union with him. Do you get that? You know, we don't get that a lot of times. We don't look at ourselves through his eyes. We get sucked into looking at life through our own viewpoint, through our own eyes, and we never see ourselves as the star in our own movie. We never expect that everything's going to work out for us. We never expect that we're going to be the champion. We always expect that it's going to go wrong for us. And you know what that is? Unbelief. It's a life of unbelief, and that is not the life that the Lord Jesus Christ planned for us a billion years ago. It is not the life that he planned for us. It is not the way he wants us thinking about ourselves. He expects us to live a life of faith. And so we're studying Romans chapter 1, and we have wandered onto the subject of prayer and the key to the Zoe life. And now, yes? I've never heard of the Zoe life. Well, it's a Greek word. You've heard it, eternal life, or the resurrection life. But the Greek word for it is Zoe. Isn't that fancy? Ooh, Greek word. Wow. But if you're a believer in Christ, one of the things you were given at the moment of salvation is the Zoe life, the resurrection life, the exact same life that the Lord Jesus Christ had when he was raised from the dead. And that is not a future event. You don't have eternal life in the future. God the Father loved all mankind so much that he gave his uniquely born son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him will never perish, but will have, at that moment, the Zoe life, eternal life, at that moment. And you cannot lose it ever. Once you have that, you can't lose it. Why? Because this is you, and this is God. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, and at salvation, he takes you, he puts you in there, and now everywhere he goes, you go. You can't lose it. Isn't that awesome? We don't want to believe that. Yes, that's too easy. Yeah, it is. For you. You think it was easy for him? Living 33 years, a sinless life, being tempted beyond what you've ever been tempted, and then being punched in the face on his way to the cross, having his face mangled beyond recognition and hanging on a cross for 3 hours to pay for every sin of all mankind. What's that got to be? 70 billion people? You think it was easy for him? Because it was hard for him, it's easy for you. For you, it's a five-word conversation. Father, I believe in Christ. That's the moment of eternal life for you. And there's nothing else necessary. It's amazing. And then you have this thing called the Zoe life. And we come here to learn about this Zoe life. What did Thoreau say? I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately, to live deep and to suck all the marrow out of life and to put to rout all that was not life so that I might not, when I come to die, discover that I had not lived. And so prayer is a key component of the Zoe life. And Stevie Wonder has a great song about prayer. It's called Have a Talk with God. And it's directed to believers in Christ because Stevie Wonder is a believer in Christ. Isn't that awesome? We're going to be looking back on when I, in heaven, looking back on when I was a little nappy. Thank God. I hope Elvis is not a believer. I think he is, though. Oh, the mighty. I can't do that. I can't. So, you know, I don't want to be in heaven doing stuff I can't do. Amen? All right. But no, I hope Elvis is there, honestly. I hope everybody's there. It's not God's will that any should perish. So Stevie has this song, Have a Talk with God. Here's what it says. When you feel your life's too hard, just have a talk with God. And when your load's too much to bear, just go talk to God. He cares. What is prayer? Prayer is having a talk with God. And I ask, I'm asking you, how many times do you do that? You know, and I'm not trying to indict you by the question. There's no condemnation for those of you who are in union with Christ. But I see myself sometimes standing in the shower and I'm thinking about all the relevant things. And instead, and I'm talking to myself. And I noticed that this week. I was talking to myself as opposed to just turning to my God and saying, you know, hey, buddy, here are the things that are on my mind. These are the things that are weighing heavy on me. And I don't want to go into my day today with those things weighing heavy on me. Thank you for taking those things. Thank you for fulfilling the promise that you made in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 is somewhere there that says, you consider my problems to be your responsibility. You care for me. Thank you. Please take these off my back. They're too heavy so that I can go do my job today. And I have confidence that you are going to do exactly what you promised in the Bible because you've never broken a promise and that you're going to take care of them because you consider my problems to be your responsibility. You see, he created us. Our creator created us as creatures. And you have some situation in your life that's a surprise to you. I can't believe I did that. Right? But do you think you surprised him? The omniscient God who knew you a billion years ago, he not only knew what you were going to do, but he knew exactly what he was going to do to bail you out. And he does it every time without fail. And so I had an option in the shower. I could talk to myself. And it's really awesome because I always answer. I swear I'm 2 weeks away from prescription medication. Amen. But I could have just as easily. That was my son, just so you know. It's really starting to dawn on him how much I traumatized him as a child, and it's all starting to come out. So, I mean, you can just as easily turn that conversation to the Lord and say, here, handle this. Or you can turn your conversation to him and ask him some questions. Lord, why is it this way? Lord, I don't understand this. Would you please help me? Give me the answers. Because he always answers. And right quick. So what is prayer? Prayer is a private, intimate talk between you and God, which gives you access to the same divine omnipotence that sustained the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. What is divine omnipotence? God has all the power. And when you engage God in your problems, what are you doing? You're taking away your human power, which isn't strong enough to get to the ceiling, and then invoking divine power and placing it focused and targeted right on your problems. Yes? Well, how often can I go to him? I mean, what's the fine line between going to him too much? Prayer, a private conversation, an intimate talk between you and God, which gives you access to the same divine omnipotence that sustained the Lord Jesus Christ as he hung from the cross. A power which gives you access to the same power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ in resurrection from the dead. A privilege which allows you to invoke divine power for yourself first. And that's one of the things we've learned so far in prayer. For yourself first. John chapter 17, who's the first person Jesus prayed for in the prayer that is above all prayers? Who's the first person he prayed for? Himself. Yes, but that's selfish. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's exactly what God expects you to be. Selfish in prayer. You first, then others. You have to stop there. Not like I do. Lord, can you give me that car? I want it all along. And those other people, you take care of them. That's not my business. I'm not like that. But, you know, you eventually get to the other people. But go for yourself first, I'm telling you. So it is a privilege which allows you to invoke divine power for yourself and for others in circumstances that have no human solution. And you know, when you hear that, you know what you should do? You should go, it should just make you relax. It should make you relax because God's got your back, front, side, top, bottom, inside and out. What does it say in 2 Peter 3:18? Grow by means of grace. Grow within the sphere of grace. And when you think of the sphere of grace, you ought to think of the geodesic dome at Disney World, the sphere. And you reside as a believer in Christ in a sphere. And you're right in the middle of the sphere, and you are surrounded by the power of God, by the grace of God, where he forgives your mistakes. God is not worried about your mistakes. He paid for them at the cross. God is not worried about you living a life of right and wrong. I did that right. I did that wrong. God is not about you living a life of guilt. Guilt is a sin. And any organization that tells you that you ought to feel guilty about anything is evil. Amen? That is not part of the plan of God for your life. It's evil. It's designed to rip your soul apart. That is not God's plan for you. God's plan for you is that you give him your problems and relax. Here's what it says in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. That's the only requirement that God has of you. Believing. What's that called? Faith. The only requirement. That you go to God and you say, hey, here's my situation. Handle it. I believe you will. That's it. It's so hard. It's so difficult to invoke that divine power, isn't it? Now, what's the fine line, though, Pastor? What's the fine line? Like, how many times can you go to God? What does it say? And all things you ask in prayer. Does it say, oh, in some things? Oh, not that one thing. Does it say not that one thing? Not that big thing that you think is a big deal? Not that thing, but everything else. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't. It says all things you ask in prayer, believing you will receive. So we're studying Paul's prayer for the purpose of his ministry in Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 15. That's the passage under consideration. Because Paul knew the power of prayer, and he was always invoking prayer on behalf of the saints. Romans chapter 1, verse 8 says this. First, I, Paul, thank God the Father in prayer through Jesus Christ's name for all you believers in Rome. Because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world, throughout the whole Roman Empire. That was not easy, people. You remember Rome. There's this building there. It's called the Colosseum. And it was a very beautiful building at the time, and it had a very elaborate set of catapult traps. And they would put a Christian in the middle of that arena, and it was packed. And the emperor would sit there with his thumb like that, and he would either go save him or putting himself in the very position of God. And if he went like that, one of the catapults would go off and a lion would come be thrown into the arena. And then you looked at the scoreboard. Lions won, Christians nothing. Rome was not an easy place to proclaim your faith. And that's why we have the Christian fish. Because people couldn't go around like you can and just tell people about their faith. And so Christians would draw half of the Christian fish and the other person would draw the other half, and then they would know they were Christians. It was code. So Rome was not an easy place to proclaim your faith. Not like the United States. And this is the easiest place in the world to proclaim your faith, because some bald-headed 18-year-old is standing on a wall today and saying, nothing's going to hurt you tonight, not on my watch. And so we get to pray and we get to proclaim our faith without bullets whizzing over our heads, because we're being protected by the very power of God through a military establishment. Our Lord Jesus Christ is accessible through prayer. Psalm 9, verses 9 to 11 say that he is a very present help in times of trouble. It says the Lord will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name, your believers, Lord, will put their trust in you, faith. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. He does not turn his back on anyone. You have adversity in your life. Maybe you didn't get on the basketball team and you thought you should have. Maybe you didn't get the check you thought you should have gotten. Maybe you didn't get the house you wanted. You have adversity. Adversity builds character. So it's not the thing that happened to you. It's not, okay, you didn't make the team. It's, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? You're going to put your thumb in your mouth and curl up in the fetal position? Or are you going to get better? You're going to make it impossible for somebody not to keep you on the team next year. You missed that putt. Okay. What are you going to do now? Sulk? That's what my golf partner always does. Sulks. Psalm 9:11. Sing praises to the Lord. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Let us sing. That's what we were just saying. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion and declare among the peoples his righteous deeds. Our God always comes through. Prayer is a weapon for Christians. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 and following says this: ask in prayer and it will be given to you. If you what? Believe. Ask in prayer and it will be given to you. Does that sound tentative to you? Does that sound like a maybe? That's not a maybe. Will. Ask in prayer and it will be given to you. Why is it future tense? It's waiting on you. It's waiting for you to believe. You believe first, and then it comes. Acts 16, 31. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what happens? He saves you. You first. If God's omniscient, why do we have to tell him? Because that's the rules. He wants you to tell him. He's a gentleman. He doesn't want to just barge into your life. He's not like me. If you're in my life, I just barge in. I don't care whether you want it or not. You're getting it. He's not like that. Amen? Yeah, y'all laughing because you know that's true, don't you? That's right. You messed up being in the sphere of my love. Matthew 7, 7. Ask in prayer and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Why? Because everyone who asks, the Lord receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. I don't believe you, Lord. The Lord could see that the audience he was talking to at this time had that look in their face. I don't believe you, Lord. He said, okay, I see you don't believe me. So let me give you an example. Matthew 7, 9. What man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf of bread, will give him a stone? Or if the son asks for a fish, the man won't give him a serpent, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, and you do, how much more will your God, the Father who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him? If you, scumbag, know how to give good gifts to people, I'm asking you, what about me? That's what he's saying. Isn't that amazing? It is amazing. Human beings are evil. We have a sin nature in the cell structure of our body. Check out Romans chapter 7 when you get a chance. Yet we answer the prayers of our children, spoiled brats that they are. We provide for them, And it follows easily that our righteous God, who is without sin, knows how to give gifts to his children. And you, believers in Christ, are his children. You are his adopted adult sons. And you are the target of his affection. Let me repeat that because I don't believe you heard me. You are the target of God's affection. Why? Because he is the source and you are the recipients. You are a target. For what? His love. What kind of love? Unconditional. What part of un don't you understand? Unconditional, no conditions. And that's the first thing we ought to know. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the source of all things. And you, as his believers, are the intended recipient of what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. All things. Except that one. Right? Except that one thing. No, all things. Take a 5-minute break.
Oh, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
Welcome back. What is prayer? Prayer is an intimate talk between you and God, which gives you access to the same divine omnipotence that sustained the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross, which gives you access to the same power that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. Prayer is a privilege which allows you to invoke divine power for yourself and for others in circumstances that have no human solution. Now, we've seen here in Barah Ministries, we've seen over and over and over and over again how our prayers work. We saw Tony LaGrasso, who had bone marrow cancer, and we saw him cancer-free in 14 months after the trials of that. You know, most times when people hear the C word, they think life's over. But I've seen over and over and over the power of prayer. We've got a lot of examples within this congregation of people who have been completely healed from the power of prayer. And it works. And it works like a charm, and it works every single time. I've seen people in this church who doubt that God's going to come through for them. They see God coming through for everybody else, and they think it's going to work for everybody else, but not for me. And God chuckles at that thought. He chuckles at that thought. He's going to come through for you too. Yes, you are going to be the star in your own movie. And always saves the best for last. And so early on in our life, we might notice that there's a lot of adversity and a lot of things that don't go exactly right. What is that? It's the seasoning process. It's like what you do to a cut of meat before you put it in and it becomes all succulent and everything. You know, you have to... My brother didn't have breakfast, amen? So sometimes you have to beat it and salt it, and, you know, it has to go through a little tribulation before you put it in the oven. But when you put it in there, it becomes succulent and juicy and delicious. So that's what our life is like a lot of times. The early on part is God making us succulent and beautiful and delicious. And, you know, what He's doing is this. What He wants you to know is He wants you to go through all your little human ideas. Oh, I got this, God. I got this. So, yeah, so go ahead. Go through all your little human stuff. And then when you're exhausted and sitting on the side of the road, He said, you finished? You need any help? He's like that SOS button in the car. You know, some cars have this button, SOS, and if you have an accident or something, the police and everybody comes. You don't have that in your car. Oh, yeah, OnStar. OnStar, she's like, what is that? Ah, never saw that in a car. Yeah, they don't have that in Pintos. You know, that didn't make it into the Pinto. Oh, my God. But God is the SOS button. And he always comes through for us. You just push the button and he comes. And he delivers every single time. So in prayer, we are to ask and it will be given to us. We are to believe and our prayer requests will be given to us. We are to ask boldly. You know, as I was writing that, I was thinking, there are religions who tell you that if you believe in Christ, you're saved. But then if you do certain sins, like you commit a mortal or a venial sin, if you commit a mortal sin and you die with a mortal sin on your soul, that you're not going to go to heaven, but you have to go to a way station called purgatory. Oh, really? What do you do in purgatory? Additional cleansing for sin. Well, why would you need additional cleansing for sin? Jesus Christ, who is perfect, did the perfect payment on the cross. So why would you need the additional cleansing? Oh, well, see, you just got to be sure. Really? Come on. And we believe that stuff. I did. 21 years Roman Catholic. I believed that crap. On the track to be a Jesuit priest. I believed that crap. It's crap. It's false. It's not true. And you just have to one day just stop and say, wait a second. If this is true, if this is God, if God is that arbitrary, do I want to worship him? What is the benefit of worshiping a God that is not powerful enough to save me once and for all time? Our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is powerful enough to save you once and for all time. You cannot lose your salvation. John 10:28, I give eternal life to believers in Christ and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hands. Who's the bully that's going to snatch you, believers in Christ, out of the Lord Jesus Christ's hands? Who's that bully? There is no bully who is powerful enough to do that. No way, no how. So I just think about that, you know, we pray to this God and he promises to give us everything except that. No, he's not like that. That's just not, you know, we studied Christ for 5 years. The best 5 years of my life was studying Christ for 5 years and getting to know exactly who he is so I know who he is and I know what he's not like. That was amazing. All right, now, so what has he told you? He said, ask me and I'll give it to you. Well, so now when we go ask, how should we go ask? Should we be wringing our hands? That's not what Hebrews 4:16 says. Hebrews 4:16 says, therefore, let us believers in Christ draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. It says in the Greek, let's go boldly before him before the throne of grace and order him around. See, somebody who makes promises to you, you can order him around. God, you said anything. Therefore, women know what I'm talking about. Women are relating to me right now, right? Because women remember everything men say. You said. They can't remember to take your shirts to the cleaners every week, but they remember something you said like 16 years ago. You said. Well, that's the way we go before our Savior. We study the word 17 years. What's the matter, Mo? Mo's looking at me like, why did you say that about women? So like 17 years ago, we studied the word. We learned something that God told us that he promised us. And now that it's time to use it, go boldly before him and say, you said. And he has to honor it. Go boldly before the throne of grace. Therefore, let us believers in Christ draw near with confidence. Go boldly before the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. Does that sound tentative to you? Does that sound like you're going to go to him and it's going to say, "Well, yeah, but I don't know. I don't know. That thing, I don't know. He's not like that. So, how's your prayer life? Yes, but I'm a teenager. I'm not supposed to have a prayer life. I'm too busy texting. No, you're supposed to have a prayer life too. Amen, Alani. So, how is your prayer life? Is it a regular part of your day? When's the last time you had a talk with God? When's the last time you asked God for something that you knew was completely beyond your reach? For many of us believers, we have turned our souls to the cosmic system of thought, to Satan's system of thought. And we have perverted our Zoe life and turned it into a life of doubt, a life of legalism, where we believe that we have to work to please God instead of knowing that he is completely pleased with those with whom his absolute righteousness has been imputed. At the moment of salvation, God puts a plus R on your forehead. And you know what that means? It means he's totally pleased with you from now on. And if you go to Home Depot and buy a black light and shine it in your mirror, you will see it. Plus R, your admission ticket to heaven. Absolute righteousness imputed to you. And so when God the Father looks at you, believers in Christ, he sees the same exact thing that he sees when he looks at his son, Jesus Christ. What is that? Perfection. Why? Because you're perfect? No, because he credited you with perfection. If you're a believer in Christ, you're justified. Do you know what that means? It means that at the moment of your salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ walked through all the heavens and all the universe and told everybody your name and that you're a believer. That's amazing. That's amazing. And we worry about it. We're worried about our relationship with God. But think, if you being evil can have a good relationship with your child, you think God stinks at it? He doesn't. God is so perfect. He gave you the perfect parents. Are your parents perfect? No, but they're perfect for you. He knew exactly what you would need. How are you going to respond to it? You're going to whine, cry, get in the fetal position, suck your thumb. Oh, my mom, see what my mom, they've ruined me. My mom was wrong about a lot of things. My dad took off 30 days into the marriage. Oh, you're pregnant? Adios. So, that's my circumstance. So, evidently God didn't think I needed two parents. Evidently he thought he was good enough to stand in for the missing parent. And he was. And look what he did. No, give a brother a hand. Look what he did. That's amazing. You have no idea how amazing it is. So we're not gonna live this life of legalism. We're gonna remember that we have plus R stenciled to our forehead. We're gonna remember that we are perfect in position, positionally sanctified, redeemed, reconciled, justified, expiated. All this stuff, all these technical words that he did for us because he loves us unconditionally. We're going to remember it and we're going to love it. If you're a believer in Christ, you're in union with Christ, which means you're in an unbreakable relationship with him. And you cannot lose your salvation. And those thoughts just are not compatible with the lies of Satan's kingdom that say you can lose your fellowship with God and that you can move backwards in the plan of God and that you need to be cleansed from unrighteousness by something that you do. Those thoughts are ridiculous and they must be discarded from our soul, thrown out like the trash they are, put in the garbage where they belong. Those lies suck us into a life of unbelief, a life of negative expectation. You should expect positive things if you're a believer in Christ, including adversity. And you should embrace it when it occurs because you know that all it is God taking you to the gym. He's taking you to the gym and he's giving you a weight that's way too heavy for you to bear so that he can train you. Oh, wait a minute. I don't think the Bible says that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Y'all are thinking about the weight, right? Y'all are sitting there staring at me. I said, turn to 1 Corinthians 10, 13. You're staring at me. I don't want to go to the gym. I have a membership, but I don't want to go. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. What I said is that God gives you a weight that's way too heavy for you to carry. You heard me say that? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this. No temptation has overtaken you but the humankind, the kind that is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also that you will be able to endure it. Did I tell the truth a minute ago that God gives you a weight way too heavy? That's not the truth, is it? Because this says he gives you what you're able to bear. He never gives you a weight that's way too heavy. He gives you what you're able to bear. And if you're not able to bear it, what does he do? Huh? He provides a way of escape. He carries it. You ever heard footprints? There were two footprints in the sand, God. And then I thought, one, why did you go away? I didn't. I carried you. If you don't feel close to God, who moved? Not him. Not him. Matthew chapter 17, beginning at verse 14, when they came to the crowd, that Jesus and his disciples came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, epileptic, and is very ill, and he often falls into the fire and often into the water, seizures. I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't cure him. And Jesus answered and said, you unbelieving and perverted generation, how long am I going to be with you? How long do I have to put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and the demon came out of the boy, and the boy was cured at once. And then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why couldn't we drive the demon out? Because you don't have a car. Matthew 17, 20. There were no cars at that time. Amen. And so he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, unbelief. For truly, I say to you, if you have faith as small as the size of a mustard seed, you will say to any obstacle, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Nothing. So we are looking at what the Bible has to say about prayer, and especially what the New Testament has to say about prayer. And the Lord always prayed before he tackled the problems of his life. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, and we'll end with this passage. It was at this time that the Lord Jesus Christ went off to the mountain to pray. He often did that. He often went off to the mountain to pray. What does that mean for you? Put the phone down, close the computer, go off someplace quiet, clear your mind. Go off to whatever your mountain is, that quiet place, and pray. It was at this time that the Lord Jesus Christ went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God the Father. And when day came, the Lord Jesus Christ called his students, disciples. Disciples are not to be confused with apostles. Disciples are technical students, mathetes, the people who were following him around, learning from him. He called them. And from among those technical students, he chose 12 of them, whom he also named as apostles, a spiritual gift. And those are individuals he would send out with the authority to proclaim the gospel to the whole world. And the Lord Jesus Christ called Simon Bar-Jonah, Bar, son of Jonah, Jonah. So Simon, the son of Jonah, whom he also named Peter. And he called Andrew his brother, and he called James and John and Philip and Bartholomew and Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, the passionate one, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became the traitor. The night before he took on this big task of picking his staff, he went off to the mountain to pray, and he prayed all night. I'll say this in final, Judas Iscariot, the traitor. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do with Judas Iscariot? He put him in charge of the money. He put him in the most trusted position. Knowing who this guy was, not at all threatened in any way. The Lord Jesus Christ was being tempted throughout his whole life beyond anything that you would ever experience. And yet, he chose not to engage in his own plan. He chose to be obedient to the plan of his Father. Now, in the matter of prayer, we're asking you to do the same thing. I hope what you learned in this lesson is that you have a weapon at your disposal. I hope what you learned in this lesson is that you have access to that weapon anytime, direct access to it. What I hope you learned is that you have on a life jacket if you're a believer in Christ and you can't swim. When somebody kicks you in the water, if you want to, you can flail your arms around, trying to save yourself all you want. But when you get through flailing your arms around, because you can't flail them around anymore, what will happen? You'll still be floating right there on the water because the Lord is the one who holds you in the palm of his hand. And he will not let you go down. And prayer is the answer to your relationship with him. Faith and unbelief choose your life. If you're an unbeliever, faith in Christ, or keep doing it yourself. Go listen to a religion which says, if you've spent your whole life striving to get God to please be pleased with you, then maybe, perhaps, not really sure, you might one day, but probably not, be saved. Or faith alone in Christ alone, instant salvation, immediate access to heaven. Make your pick. And then when you have salvation, faith or unbelief, make your pick. Do what God tells you to do, or make up your own rules. Find out they don't work, and then listen to what God tells you to do. And then understand when you believe in Christ that you have a relationship, and that the hallmark of a relationship is the interactions that you have with the one to whom you are related. And so when you feel your life's too hard, why don't you have a talk with God? Prayer. An intimate conversation with God that's always too short. Let's close with song. Closing song is Be Thou My Vision.
Waking or sleeping, thy presence.
Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Jesus, and he will make your path straight. For the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He'll be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. So do not fear or be dismayed. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice, and blessed are those who wait for him. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for always being there for us. Thank you very much for sending your Son to demonstrate your love for us, a love unconditional. I pray for those who are carrying heavy burdens today. I pray that you penetrate their soul with this message and let them know that you're on their side and that nothing can get in the way of you being on their side and that you are protecting them with unseen forces that make the path that you have planned for them a billion years ago, one that will be unimpeded toward the glory that you have planned for them. And while we may, on that road, experience tribulation, remind them of what you said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, that after a little tribulation, you yourself will confirm, perfect, strengthen, and establish them. And help us to remember how magnificent you are and how much you love us and how much you just absolutely want the best for us and that you're always willing to do only one thing for us, and that is all. And we pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your unconditional love, your magnificent person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen. Thanks for coming, thanks for watching, and thanks for listening.